ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz, and I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bull Scripted, and we are here to recap the Chicago Bulls loss. Third in a row to the Memphis Grizzlies, 101-90. Before we do that, be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at ontapsportsnet, at Bulls on Tap, following Goose at Bull Scripted, and following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. 5-star rating and review, because that's cool and tough. What's not cool and tough is this product of Bulls basketball that we've been watching lately, man. And I feel like it might be a rant episode. I know last night kind of was. I don't want to make that like a fucking theme here, but why not? I mean, why not make it a theme? Dude, it's becoming a fucking chore, brother. It's becoming a chore. Like, I love doing these. Don't get me wrong. I love doing the post games, but what's happening, man?
I don't know. Like, the first half, the bench actually rebounded for the starters who started off horrible. And, what is the excuse for the starters at this point? Because to start the season, it was, we have the youngest lineup, one of the youngest lineups in the NBA being tossed out there. Fit be damned, Kobe, Lowry, Zach, Pat, and Wendell. So, well, we had an excuse. Now we got two All-Stars, two veterans, and a top five pick in our starting lineup. And this is the product that we're getting to start almost every fucking game.
Burke's comment just got me a little bit there. When did Patrick Williams turn into Tony Snell? Oh, God, Burke. God damn it. Damn it. I don't know what's going on. Like, as you can see, I'm just completely kicked back because I'm watching that downfall, right? And I'm thinking at the end of the first quarter when Tice came in and like that boost that he gave us, right? I thought that that might be a turnaround in the game itself to get some energy flowing, to get some things moving in the right direction. And it kind of was for a little bit. But once again, the Bulls stand in their own way. And turnovers, indecisiveness with the ball, not knowing when to shoot the ball, hesitating on drives, not taking advantage of mismatches. This is fundamental basketball at this point. And if they don't know that, I don't care if Billy was a fucking Nobel Prize winner in whatever he studied. You can't teach that to guys that are set in their ways and are refusing to learn. And that's just where it really comes down to me right now, man. We're watching a shit product. And I'm getting back to last year's mentality where I'm like, dude, even when they took the lead, I'm watching the game. I'm like, they're going to fucking blow this. Like, I had no, like, they're going to maintain this. I had nothing because I knew as soon as the starters came back in or, you know, Zach came back in and the game got close and he started playing hero ball, it was over. And that's what happened.
No, I mean, it's...
It's very rare when you're at a loss for words, and I can tell it in your face right now. You're, like, fucking dumbfounded.
I mean, because, well, what do you want me to say? Like, we weren't supposed to win tonight. I guess I'll start there. The Memphis Grizzlies are a better basketball team than us. Plain and simple. They're a legitimate playoff team in the West. They have a record above 500. They have an identity. They know what they're going to do on a nightly basis. When Zach LaVine is not making every shot in the gym, we don't have an identity. Because outside of that, we really don't have anything. We don't have a point guard, and we have two shooting guards in Zach LaVine and Kobe White that aren't exactly the best initiators in terms of a team standpoint. They get tunnel vision. It's all about them. They get the ball, and it's probably not going to move very much from there. So I don't really know, because you can't take the ball out of Zach's hands. He's the best player we got. Sato isn't worth a damn. He won't take an open jump shot.
You know, I feel like really shitty right now about that is because I had remember the episode where I was like, man, he's been super efficient. And you're like, he shot the ball three times, Buzz. And I'm like, yo, bro, but he's done that a couple games and he's hitting them. As soon as I open my stupid mouth, downfall. Straight up.
Why the fuck over Sato, bro?
I don't.
He was so good at basketball before you said
that. I know. It wasn't intended or malicious or anything. It's just I just rained bad juju on him because he was playing decent ball. You know, I mean, this is what I kind of said when we traded for Vooch, and I got like all hyped up. I'm like, okay, we got this. We're gonna make it happen here. It's gonna be good. But before we had traded for Vooch, I never understood why people wanted Sato in the starting lineup. Not that he's not a good point guard, not that he doesn't play with Zach well. It was just like, this is what you get per his career. I mean, his career numbers right now, obviously they're down this year, but this is the kind of what you get.
Wait, if you mean he's starting a backup point guard, you know, right, the starting role and his numbers are down. How the fuck do you do that?
I don't know what I did, and I don't know how he did it, and it's just really frustrating to watch. It's getting to the point now where, I mean, they're down one going into the halftime, and arguably the run the bench made at the end of the first quarter and in the beginning of the second quarter got them where they were, because they were down so much in the first. They were down by like nine in the first quarter
out there. That was the lineup. I ironically shared a tweet of the Bulls' best net rating in the last month of a five-man lineup, and that lineup is Tice, Lowry, Kobe, Zach, and Troy Brown Jr. And that is the lineup that we had out there that went on a run. I do not believe that we saw that combination of five players again in the second half.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Do you have any inkling, anything?
No, I mean, and I was just fucking around looking at stats, trying to parse through stuff to like see what is the common denominator. Why do Zach and Vooch not have like a single lineup together that's positive? That doesn't make sense. You have Kevin Durant, and you have national analysts, you have us, you have every other Joe Schmo doing a Bulls podcast talking about how beautiful and simple this offensive game is supposed to be with a Zach and Vooch pick and roll, how easy it is supposed to be for other people, except those other people are Tomas Satoransky, who refuses to shoot the motherfucking basketball. So you're getting wide open shots for guys that can't hit them, and it's sad. Lauri Markkanen, I don't even think he played 15 minutes tonight, let alone 20. I'll have to check the box score real quick.
Oh, I'm a stat guy. I'm a stat guy tonight. I got everything pulled up here. Lauri played 16.
He got 16 in. It didn't feel like it, other than
he didn't score.
No, he didn't. He
didn't fucking score the ball.
No, he didn't.
But he's a plus eight and the plus minus. So go ahead and tell me how fucking great he played, everybody. Let me know.
How did he not score? That's not right.
Dude.
Thies fed him a ball in the post. They tweeted about it. He scored. But it's not in here. It's invisible. It's gone. It doesn't exist. Even the stats guy's doing Lauri dirty. No. I fucking tweeted about the shit.
Are you talking about the offensive foul when he was at the rim?
I don't think there was an offensive foul.
Was that when he was in with Tice? Is that what you're talking about?
I think so.
That's an offensive foul.
He had an offense. Okay. I thought maybe he didn't.
Tice got an offensive foul. The basket got removed.
No. Tice was at the top of the key. He fed Lowry down in the post with a mismatch, and Lowry scored in the post. It was the only bucket he scored tonight, but he scored.
No, you're wrong, baby, because it says 0 for 3.
Oh, my God. That's good. All right.
Please don't tell me I have to go back and watch this fucking game. I usually do, and I don't want to.
You don't have to. I will. I'm going to go back because I feel like I watched a different basketball game. I didn't think Lowry had more than 2 points. I didn't think he even played 10 minutes, but I remember that bucket pretty clearly. He did have 7 boards, though. That's kind of fucking weird.
I don't know, man. I mean, one of our listeners who always joins the room here or the live stream, Chai Sports Fan. I love that guy, kid, whatever he is. Good dude. But he puts, the problem is all they do is chuck threes when the game is tight, and it's annoying. And I kind of agree with him. And tonight, instead of trying to get looks at the rim, that's what they did. Out of their 86 shots, 31 of them were threes. Do you know how many they hit tonight? 5. They shot 16% from 3-point range. Stop laughing. It's not funny. It's fucking bullshit.
I'm joking. You can't smoke good weed and make me choke on something at the same time. That's not gonna result well. But man, what?
Yeah, bro. I mean, they're out rebounded by 11, 51 to 40.
See, I think that rebound stat is going to be a little cheap because the Grizzlies throw a lot of balls off the backboard and just expect Valanciunas to go get it. And he killed Vooch tonight, man. I ain't even going to lie. He killed the shit out of Vooch. Vooch was getting pissed. There was buckets that Valanciunas was making that Vooch would, like, foul him. There would be a no call, and Valanciunas would still get the bucket. And Vooch is walking down the court pissed. Like, I can't fucking do anything. This guy is just torching me.
I would say that Memphis didn't even – like, I've watched a lot of Grizzlies basketball this year because I like Ja Morant. I would say they played a pretty shitty game tonight in general, and they still beat us. And they still beat us in a decisive manner, too. In the fourth quarter, they outscore us 31-16. You know, the Bulls were down one and going into half. They outscore Memphis 27-22 in the third.
Tied the first quarter, lost the second one.
Only by 1 point.
The third one by 5. Got blown out in the fourth by 15 fucking points.
It's literally a thing where you see this team not be able to finish games, and I don't know where to go from here because I thought that Vooch and Zach would be the answer to that. I really did. And as far as now, it's just not working. The great, untouchable Thaddeus Young had a good game scoring-wise, 10 for 15, had 20 points. You know, I mean, again, when he's your second best player, you're not going to win games. And
oh, look who's next on the schedule.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. It's going to be fucking Wendell. Orlando. I mean, it's going to be the Wendell revenge game, and he's just going to fucking kill us, and I'm just going to be sitting here in the Buzz Cave, depressed as shit, like I am right now. I just, dude, people ask questions, like, I'll get tweets and stuff, which is really cool. Like, I love the fact that people, like, come to us for Bulls coverage and stuff, because we do take it seriously. We really like doing it, but, like, I'm at a fucking loss for words. I don't know what's happening, and I don't know how to explain it. They don't get in their sets. Pat Williams looks more scared than he did in the beginning of the season. I don't know.
First bucket in eight quarters, like Stacy consistently reminded us throughout the show. Like,
I felt like Stacy wanted to go off on Kobe White tonight, too.
I mean,
there's a few times he wanted to go off on Kobe, and Kobe was getting pissed. Saw a lot of emotion out of Kobe tonight, but like, just some of the things that he does on the court, like this little stutter step, getting around the screen, then like, or what do you want to do? Do you want to fucking, you know, Ja Morant it or Trae Young it, like run halfway in the paint, fucking stop, make the defender run into you? Or are you going to dribble it off your leg again? Or are you going to run out and I'm serious. And then are you going to fucking run out of the paint when you finally get in there, try to reset the offense, and then you have fucking 7 seconds on the shot clock to try to make something happen.
And then pull a turnaround jumper in the corner?
Like, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is anymore.
We don't have an answer on this team, and that's the issue. And that's probably exactly why David Griffin sat there in that Pelicans office and was like, you want to give me Satoransky in 2 seconds for Lonzo Ball? No. I know how bad you need Lonzo Ball. It doesn't matter what everybody else is giving me for him because I know he doesn't want to be here and he wants to come to you. How bad do you want to be in the playoffs right now, Arturs? How bad do you want to be there? All right? It ain't worth a first to you? You can't find a first? All right. Cool. Can't have him. And look at us. Look at us. We're relying on Zach LaVine to play point guard for 48 minutes. And Zach's not a point guard. Zach's instinct is to shoot.
Well, he was drafted as a point guard.
He was drafted as a point guard. I mean, that is a positive. Zach is an above-average initiator.
I really hope you sense my sarcasm because it's 7 years into his fucking career.
Yes, but he does have point guard skills. Like, he just can't be your only point guard for 48 minutes. He
can't be the only guy that does it.
Yes, that's the issue. Because Satoransky, I don't think he's a point guard or a shooting guard.
Is it fair to say, like, and just take this opinion how you will, maybe not opinion, more so posing a question, I guess. Like, Is it fair to say, obviously he's a more efficient scorer, right? Like he can get his shot easier, but with Zach trying to play this point guard role, he's straight up giving me Kobe White vibes sometimes out on the court because I don't feel like he knows what he wants to do. Does he want to get his teammates involved or does he want to get his to try to keep this fucking, you know, to keep the team competitive in the game as long as he can? Like, I don't know where he's at mentally. How he walked off the court tonight was like 2009-2010 LeBron vibes. Besides taking the jersey off.
Are you saying that we're losing Zach LaVine?
Is that No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, you just said the way he walked off gave you LeBron vibes.
Like, it did.
Like, you just pretty much told me Zach LaVine's leaving.
I wouldn't say leaving. He didn't have a choice right now, but I mean,
check. He's got a choice soon, though.
Soon, right? I just feel like
How fucked would that be?
Yeah, no shit.
You trade for Vooch, you give up two future firsts, and see you later, guys.
Well, that would be so Chicago Bulls, is what that would be. That would just be the story of this franchise's life, right? Now.
Man, I just. We have to beat the Magic. That is first and foremost. And then we get a chance at revenge against the Grizzlies at home on Friday the 16th. So we have two winnable matchups again. Like, the Grizzlies are a better team. We're not supposed to win that game, but it is still winnable. The Magic, if we lose that game, we will need to, like, have each other on life alert because – I don't know. I only have a one-story house, so my roof's not high enough to do any damage, man. But you might find me up there, and I don't like heights to begin with, so it might be high enough to get me scared.
I sit and I look at – and I'm going up and down the box score again, and I'm just looking at just Vooch's inefficiency tonight, even though 17-10. You know, I'm looking at – Pat Williams really debating if I'm a head coach sending this kid a message and putting him on the bench. I'm looking at Lauri Markkanen, Kobe White.
And for Pat, though?
What was that?
We saw Temple suggested online today. Do you start Troy Brown Jr.? Like, what are you doing? I mean, you've played Troy Brown Jr. at the end of games over Pat Williams recently.
There's a reason I want to move him to the bench, and it's not to like send like a hurtful message, but to maybe like he would kind of click in his head that I need to be more aggressive. And
it's gonna work. You just put Kobe and Lowry over there, and you're telling them they got to be aggressive. So now you got
Maybe fucking one of them out of the three will do it.
Yeah, what out of the three of them all fighting over the ball, trying to get the shit from Kobe? No. That's the issue.
Well, we don't have to worry about Lowry. He's going to go stand in the fucking corner.
Hey, he's doing his job, man. Everything's going good when Lowry's in the corner.
I feel so terrible for – like, don't get me wrong. Like, I could be a homer sometimes, but I do feel like I'm realistic about the Bulls, except when they do something like trade for Vooch, and I'm like, championship. Obviously, I didn't say that, but, you know, I was all excited about it.
Photoshop pictures of both players holding trophies?
I don't do that. No, I don't do. I don't have the skill actually to do that. But where I'm at right now is I feel so bad for some of the realistic fans that are out there that have tweeted and take a bunch of shit because they were 100% right. And there's a few of them that I've mentioned this group chat that I'm in before. A lot of smart guys and a couple guys that actually work within the Bulls or NBC and stuff. And you know, these guys take shit for saying like this team's not competitive. If they get to the playoffs, it's just going to be a bounce. They're in the play-in. It's just stupid. Just they need to get, you know, stack up on assets and the Vooch trade happens. They're intrigued by it, but they're still all like, this isn't going to really solve much. And it's kind of like, okay, because interior defense was a problem before. And then you bring in Vooch. Yeah, he'll score. You're just hoping he's going to outscore what he lets up. And it's just like this vicious cycle that keeps going round and round and round. And as I am staring at this roster and the small sample size, because let's call it what it is. Let's not get too like, you know, toaster bath happy here. It's a very small sample size of the new guys that are here with an all-star that's been paired with another all-star.
It's a sample size, man.
what is it? 9 games? 8 games?
I think it's 10. I think
is it 10 now?
6 entering the night. Now we're 3-7.
Oh, you're right.
Oh,
no, you're right. Yeah, so that's fine. Yeah,
shortened season. We're talking close to almost 20%.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah,
that's not really a short sprint. And I get a lot of these games. We just played back to backs, with one day off in between. We played 5 games or 4 games in 5 nights. So that's not easy, especially when you really just need practice and shit like that, and you're just being thrown out here, and now you got this negative juju surrounding you, and the sky is just fucking falling. And then when the shit hits the fan, the Bulls do what they've done the last few years. They tuck their tail, and they suck. And they chuck, because that's all you can do. Oh, God, everything's going to shit. It's a prayer. I don't know, man. Hopefully, Billy, we did see some positive rotations, but it's not like Billy establishes that and, like, circles it and goes back to it when it matters. It's like, nope, it's the fourth quarter. Shit's getting tough. Got to put them starters in that got us behind to start the game. Got to go back to them. I don't know.
Yeah, well, getting into the next matchup, it is going to be Orlando. Orlando dropped a one tonight to the San Antonio Spurs, 120-97. Former friend Wendell Carter Jr. goes off for 15 points on 5 or 6 of 11 shooting, 8 boards, 4 assists. You know,
what's Mo Bamba doing? I saw some people.
He only played 3 minutes.
He only played 3 minutes.
Yep.
Damn, dude. Fucking Mo, man. Imagine that, man. You get drafted to a team. You have to sit behind an all-star forever. All right. And then they finally trade this fucking guy, but they get the guy that got drafted the pick directly after you in your same draft class. And now you're playing 3 minutes because this guy's getting all the shine. Oh, God, that's got to fucking suck.
Felicio still is on the team, Gary yes. Bird. Yes. He's still on the team. He just doesn't play because we need to save him for the playoffs.
Yep, that's what it is. No, I'm actually disappointed. You really can't convince me that you're that serious if Felicio is still on your roster.
Like, do we put Archie Diacono back in? I don't know.
I mean, hey, Billy puts Denzel in for 3 minutes at a time and just goes, nope. Yeah, just gave you a shot. Nope. Nope.
I am just so shocked. And if they go in against Orlando at home and lay another egg and lose 4 in a row,
oh no! If they lose to the Magic, I might be done. We might have to retire the podcast for the year.
We can't. We have advertisers.
Shit! I didn't sign no contract. Did you falsify my name on this shit? Because
I forged your name.
Oh God!
Damn. I'm sorry about that. I apologize.
Folks, we're stuck here with you. So
yeah, we'll ride it out with everybody because that's what we should do. You know, but. I just, if they blow it, dude, I got no hope left. I really don't. I pretty much lost hope now. I mean, they're 22-31. They're almost 10 games under 500.
And we're still going to be gifted to playing.
And I know it was such a rough stretch.
Where are we on the Tankathon standings?
I haven't looked at Tankathon, but I know we are like one game above Toronto still.
I know we still got a game on them. That's what's the most screwed up thing about this. Where are we at in the lottery? Because if you were right,
we were sitting at 10. We're at exactly 10 right now.
And Sacramento's got one more. We could be up as high as 9. You can't really get to 8. But we could be as high as 9 with a 20% chance at a top 4 fucking pick and still be in the play-in.
That's so dumb.
I mean, it's brilliant for us if it works out. But it's painful, and I don't like it.
Let's hope it's completely rigged then. I don't know what to say, and they give us fucking top 4 pick, and we keep our pick. Yeah, and
get a consecutive top 4 pick, and we added Vooch, and we get playoff experience. That'll be the sexiest triple dip I've ever seen. But you can't calculate that. You can't bank on that. You can't tell me that that's what we were aiming to do. We wanted to be real bad in that win column, but still get in that play-in, and then we knew we were going to get lucky. No, that's not how it works. So that's the way it plays out. fantastic. The basketball gods love us again. But banking on that, that's kind of what it feels like.
It's what, like, do we need to do against Orlando to win the game? Like,
we just
limit turnovers, obviously, is one of them, and exploit mismatches.
We need to play through the post, and we should know Wendell Carter Jr. inside out, right? Like Vooch should be able to eat there, right? That should be pretty simple game plan. You know all Wendell's weaknesses. Just go at Wendell. Just fucking go at Wendell.
Play. See, I feel like when you're saying that right now, you truly do believe it.
I kind of do.
But at the same time, I feel like you have like this little thing in the back of your head, like, we're going to go attack him. He's going to stuff everything and play.
No, I'm not that worried about that. I don't think I'm at all worried about
that. I'm not at all worried because I know we suck. I just don't want to watch that again because they got to do something. They have to.
So, no, I mean, play through Vooch. Zach and Kobe, you are right. The last few games, watching Zach and Kobe play has been identical. The difference was Zach could not miss in the first half of that game. So Zach playing like that wasn't a problem then. Now Zach's still kind of been playing like that, and the shots haven't been going in. And that's not working because Zach's reaction to shots not going in, I got to get up more shots. And Kobe, he tries to pass. It just doesn't work.
Oh.
Vooch is going for 35-16-6 against Orlando.
I love that from our buddy. I hope he's right, and I hope that equates to a W, because it don't mean anything without a win. I know that, you know, we're getting a little far into the future here, but if this play keeps happening from Kobe White, I don't see him here next year in a Chicago Bulls uniform. I really don't.
But how does that work? We can't do this thing to players where they come into the season with positive trade value. We put them in a position to destroy their trade value, and then we let them go for free, bottom dollar, or nothing because we fucked up with their situation. Not them, because we fucked up. Because we play Kobe White with Zach LaVine too much. Because we can't find a way to have Kobe White on the floor where it's okay for him to do the things that he does. No, we put him out there with Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen all the time.
And the bad thing is, like, I like Kobe. Like, I think that he could be a really good scorer off the bench, and I really do think that he could facilitate a little bit off the bench. And it's just right now, I feel like he doesn't believe in himself, and that's, like, the biggest thing. And you could use the same argument for Lauri Markkanen, I guess, but...
Yeah, Lowry's checked out, too. Lauri knows he's
and up. That's what I mean. Like, I don't want... If you're checking out... Yeah, your value saw, you know, your value hurts. Like, it hurts because you don't have as much as you did. But, like, I don't want
every single draft pick that was taken number 7th by the Bulls will have a better career in a different jersey than they had with the Bulls. Because they probably all three will end up in a different home. And it's unfortunate that we weren't able to get the value that we could have for them when they had the value that they did. Because, no, it is pretty apparent. If we are building around Zach LaVine, Kobe White and Lauri Markkanen do not fit. Unless you can find a way to stagger Zach from Kobe more often than not. But you can't do that right now because Tomas Satoransky is incrementally, if at all, a better option than Kobe White next to Zach because he sucks at defense and he refuses to shoot the ball when Zach is playing point guard. So, damned if you do, damned if you don't play Kobe. And, I don't know, get Javonte Green in there, I guess.
Right, like you have to have some sort of shakeup, some sort of message being sent. You have to get people that can complement Zach's game, and I don't see any of them on the roster right now. And I thought, and I still have hope that it could happen with Vooch because that pick and pop. But when neither of them, when your two best players can't really defend, you're kind of in no man's land, and that's just kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah. Why did you have to bring that up, man? I don't want to talk about the fact that we... I mean, the only thing that saves me is our picks are protected. Like, they're protected. Yeah. You get lottery lucky, you get to keep that shit. So, I don't think the Bulls would be this bad next year with the roster and some adjustments. I think we can be good. I think we'd definitely be a legitimate playoff team. But right now, this sucks. To get that hype the day of the trade and the days after and all that fun shit for this? Like, this was the stretch we were supposed to beat up on people and get ready for this play-in. We're not doing that. I don't think the back end of our schedule after this little eight-game stretch is nearly as fun and as pretty as this eight-game stretch. So if we can't get it right now, what the hell is going to happen when we're playing real, real teams again?
Especially teams fighting to get in, fighting for better seating.
Yeah, I mean, fighting for home court advantage.
It's going to be a fucking – if they keep playing like this, it's going to be a fucking nightmare. It really is. And I agree wholeheartedly with that sentiment that you just put out, because it's going to get a lot worse if they don't figure out a way to maybe not win, but at least be competitive, because they're not competitive. What we're watching is sloppy basketball, absolutely sloppy basketball. And it's
always in the fourth quarter.
100%. Well, that's all I got, man. I'm sorry to be a Debbie Downer to everybody listening to this in podcast form. Thank you guys for joining us in the live stream. It's nice to have people who share our pain. You got anything else, my man?
No, I mean, just keep plugging along, Bulls fans. I hope the future is bright, but we can't really bank on draft picks without lottery luck, and I don't know how much more we got left to trade. So we got to hope that these boys figure it out, and I don't know. That's really it. Like, we have the talent. That's why it's so fucking frustrating. You literally have two all-stars. You have a 20-10 guy and a guy that can give you 25 every single night. How can we not figure this out?
Well, hopefully they can soon, because if they don't, like I said, it's going to get a lot fucking worse before it gets any better. That's all I got, brother. That's all I got tonight.
Yep, that's a wrap.
All right, man. Well, everybody be sure going on to tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bull Scripted. Following me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us, 5-star rating and review. We'll be back when the Bulls play the Magic, and that should be Thursday night because they're off tomorrow. If you want to hear me continue talking, go over to the Sox on Tap live stream. I'll be going over there to do the post game. Let's go, Bulls.